baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble,
yeah.
And if you're the wobble, that means we are live on Blog Talk Radio. I mean, it's another great edition of Sports Club. Of course, we're doing another combo thing here because I wanted to wait. I was going to do board checks separate, but hockey decided to go to so many game sevens that I wanted to make sure to get them all in before we started talking about round number two. Now, tons of things. Obviously, we'll get into NHL a little bit down the road. We will also talk to MLS with Atlanta United and try to figure out something better to do because, man, I don't want to compare them to another team because speaking of the city that I was going to compare them to, right now he is one of my favorite media people. He is out of the Central Florida area and a good friend of mine. Very glad that he's able to be on with us. He is Mike Sigmund. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing good, Jeremy. How you doing today?
I'm doing okay, doing better for talking to you.
Oh, man, I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Without being too snarky this early on, yeah, I was going to compare what Atlanta United is going through to actually what Orlando is typically going through about this time, but I'm going to keep it positive today, and I'm going to leave that discussion out of it. That's somewhere down the road.
It's all right, man. We all go through our struggles sometimes, especially with MLS, but you guys have been in the playoffs, and we're still waiting for that chance. So, you know, you guys always have a special place in our hearts because – we one day want to grow up to be like you.
Well, and I know on behalf of Atlanta United, they definitely appreciate that. But I like a lot of things Orlando does anyway. But we're not on here to talk MLS, at least for right now. Been a crazy day, and I know we're only about a half hour away from the first pick. So let's get right into the NFL draft. Just overall, what are some of the things you're looking for in this first round tonight? Then we'll get a little more into what you think your Jets may do.
Well, I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing Greedy Williams be taken in the top 20 picks. I'm a big Greedy Williams, LSU. You know, LSU is dubbed as DBU. They do a great job in raising and growing successful defensive back prospect. So I'd love to be able to see Greedy Williams go to a good team in the top 20 and be able to change around that franchise. I don't see a lot of people actually having him as one of their best corners, but it's just crazy to me how he wouldn't be going in the first round where I've seen projections of him falling out of the first round.
Wow. Yeah. Everybody I've talked to, mainly a lot of fans, is usually around this time. You can't even trust us. Me, listen to some of the things we say, but
no.
Most of the fans, especially Falcons fans and others that are in those, you know, somewhere between 10 and 25, they're hoping that guy falls to them. And I mean, I don't see that he'd fall outside the top round, but I mean, you know how these drafts are going to go.
Yeah, nobody really knows what exactly is going to happen, and that's the worst part. Like, last year was probably the easiest draft for anybody to be able to just say, hey, look, this is what's going to happen. You know, last year we were all able to pick, okay, yeah, you know, Baker Mayfield's going to go one. Then Saquon's going to go two. Then the Jets would be stupid if they passed up on Darnold. And then after that, it kind of got to where, like, nobody really kind of knew what was going on. But this year – there's, you know, this entire toss-up of, okay, well, what if Kyler Murray doesn't go number one and they take Bosa or they take Allen number one? Because then that just throws an entire wrench in the draft. But I honestly believe that Kyler Murray is going to go one and Josh Rosen's going to get traded either today or tomorrow to another team.
Yeah, I definitely see that. I mean, and just depending on if Arizona is going to move back into the first round, it could be later tonight when it happens. But yeah, I definitely agree. I could care less about what if Kingsbury wants to. I think this is Steve Keim or whatever the GM. I don't think he's a GM at all. I think, honestly, probably a hamster at the pet store could do a better job than he's done in Arizona. But I feel like he thinks this is the way he's going to save his job when they already have Josh Rosen in the building. But I think they are going to take that pick. I do agree. The biggest thing I've heard, at least in the last week, is that obviously the Jets 3, and I'm not saying that because they're your team, they have been calling everybody, their mother, their brothers, their cousins from Amsterdam, trying to get out of the 3 spot, because I think to them they need the needs that they – or the people they're after are going to be there, you know, a lot further down. I've also heard the Falcons are trying to move up into the top 10. I've heard the Bills are trying to move into the top 10. So – out of nowhere, there's somebody in the top 10 that everybody wants to get to, and then there's those people like the Giants and Jets that realize the power of having those top spots, and they're going to try to move down and get more capital.
Yeah, where the Jets have already came out and said, you know, the moment that they announced that they were going to have the third pick, the Jets were already like, we're more than happy with trading back into the back into the later rounds, so we'd be more than happy to. And at first, mm-hmm. when I heard that, I was like, okay, you know, I don't mind trading back. It just depends with who. And then when you kept hearing it, we're willing to trade back, we're willing to trade back, you kind of get scared from a marketing stance of like,
yeah,
we're going to undersell this. Someone's just going to come in and be like, sure, well, they're going to like pull an Antonio Brown to Oakland over our eyes, and we're going to end up being Pittsburgh, and we're just going to swap first-round picks and – you know, pick up an extra third rounder, and that's going to be it. And that's not what's going to work. But the Jets have already said, we're willing to move back if the price is right,
yeah,
and if our player is not there. I'm hearing that the Jets are very high on Bosa, and if Bosa is there at 3, I'm hearing the Jets won't trade back. If Quinnen Williams is there at 3, I hear the Jets may be willing to trade with Buffalo, to potentially have Buffalo get Quinnen Williams, which is kind of weird because I don't think the Jets should trade with interdivision rivals. And I also heard that Atlanta wants to trade up, but I'm hearing Atlanta wants Ed Oliver from Houston. So don't be surprised if that's, you know, 4, 5, or 6, if one of those or the Giants trade back with Atlanta to be able to go ahead and get Ed Oliver.
Yeah, I heard they're after Oliver as well. I'm not real sure how high up they're going to have to go to get him. I keep hearing things randomly here and there. I really don't know. I don't know. The last time Atlanta moved up like this, Julio Jones, and it seemed like that was the price. It's kind of paid off, even though they've not really had any championships or anything. But I don't know. It's just, a lot of people around here are skittish anytime they hear trying to move up that far.
Yeah, anytime moving up, you get really nervous because you go, okay, well, what do we have to give up? And hearing potential, you know, first, second, and then the next year's first is always scary. The team that is going to overpay in a move up, if the talks continue, because right now I'm hearing that the Raiders are torn on – two quarterbacks, and it's I believe it's Drew Locke and Dwayne Haskins. Drew Locke you can get later in the round, but Dwayne Haskins is going to have to be early. So if the Raiders want Dwayne Haskins early, the Jets are at the number 3 spot. If you want that, they're going to have to secure it with that number 3 spot. So, you know, the Raiders may potentially trade up at the number 3 spot to go ahead and get Dwayne Haskins, or Washington, because we all know how I can't remember the owner's or the GM name of Washington, but we all know how he is when it comes to trading up. And well, actually, what's owner is taking control of part of this draft, from what I heard. And he, the mm-hmm. last time that he did that, he traded 3 first round draft picks and a couple seconds to the St. Louis Rams, or now the Los Angeles Rams, for Robert Griffin III. So we kind of saw how that worked out.
Yeah. Yeah, the owner up there is Dan Snyder, and the main reason I remember that is not only is his outlandish behavior pretty entertaining, at least from the media side of things, but I actually have a friend named Dan Snyder, and I like to mess with him and tell him maybe he should run the team. But it's the fun thing about these drafts is you really can get chaos. And like last year was pretty straight laced. We said that for the most part, we kind of had an idea of what was going to happen. This time around, we've got John Gruden with way more power than he should ever have. And I say that being a big Gruden fan, I have not been a fan of anything he's done in Oakland. Mike Mayock, I think, was hired not only because he's friends with him and John actually has respect for him, but I think he's there so that hopefully he can balance out him doing something Jerry Jones like, you know, trying to draft Johnny Manziel or something. And at this point, with the rate of four, I don't think they're going to wait on anybody to try to drop to them. I think they're going to try to move up to two or three. They're going to do something crazy. I don't know if they're after Kyler Murray. I don't know if they're going to try to trade for a pirate ship. Who knows at this point?
I hope they trade for a pirate ship. That would be amazing. Maybe
it would be. It'd be great.
Maybe they trade all three first-round draft picks for, you know, a stadium or anything in that nature. But we're seeing, like you said, we're seeing John Gruden with way too much firepower, and we don't know what to expect because we know John Gruden loves one thing in the entire world, and that's quarterbacks. So if John Gruden really is in love with a quarterback, we could potentially see him just overtake and get the quarterback that he wants. And it's going to either cost them a lot or it's not going to cost them as much as all. But it's one of those things where if they trade for a quarterback, what do you do with Derek Carr at that point? So
yeah,
there's a lot of day trades that could happen. And as a, you know, as a member of media, we're very quick to look at it and go, okay, well, if this trade happens, then what happens with this? Like, part of me goes, okay, well, the Cincinnati Bengals are in a total rebuild at this point. Do they keep A.J. Green or do you trade A.J. Green? Do you use him as trade bait to move up into the, you know, into the top 10 or further up, you know, in the top five to be able to get the quarterback that you want? Because they've also been rumored to potentially take a quarterback because they don't believe in Andy Dalton anymore. So this is the one draft day that nobody really knows what's going to happen, and we're going to either see a lot of people make some really bad decisions and a lot of people are going to make some trades that we're not quite sure on. But the other thing that I was telling somebody earlier this week is this is the only draft that I can really think of where you don't have an explosive offensive player that could potentially go in the top 10 and be a game changer from a fantasy aspect in this game. I don't think DK Metcalf or Antonio Brown's cousin or nephew, Hollywood, I don't think we're going to see any of these guys come in and make a dominant change at week one. If we see some of these guys fall in the later rounds, I see them making plays throughout the latter part of the season, but I don't think we're going to see too much. I can guarantee you one thing. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers will make a very bad draft choice today. If they do not draft the linebacker out of LSU, Kevin White, I believe it is, if they do not draft the linebacker out of LSU with the number 5 pick and they trade back, I have a feeling they will make a very bad decision.
Even with Bruce Arians in charge?
I like Bruce Arians, but I don't think Bruce Arians has total control over the draft. I believe their issue is GM and owner. Tampa's giant mistake has always been they don't know how to make the right players at the right time because they traded back 2 times last year, and each time they traded back, Derwin James was sitting there. And Derwin James was easily the best defensive player in the draft besides Darius Leonard last year. So it's one of those things where you got to question exactly what was going on through the GM and the head coaching spot. So I like Bruce Arians. I like Todd Bowles, especially as their D coordinator. But it's one of those things where if the GM and the owner have any hand in part of this, it's going to be a very long night for Tampa Bay Bucs fans.
Yeah, and as somebody who used to follow Tampa Bay, and a lot of it was Gruden years because I was a fan of his, they just do have a propensity for draft picks. And yeah, I like Matt Light as the GM. Like you said, I like a lot of the coaching staff and things like that. I've never been a fan of the Glazers. I think they spend all their time, effort, and money in their EPL team, and think it shows. They don't run the franchise the way I think they should. But as we're talking to the Pro Forum, Mike Sigmund, what is the team that because I got two that one's a real long shot. What's the team that you think is going to make either a surprise pick or like a surprise move? Like somebody's going to either move up or to grab somebody that nobody's looking at right now, or maybe somebody moves back into the first round.
Somebody who could easily move back into the first round could be we could easily see the Seattle Seahawks move back into the first round, especially if they mm-hmm. use any of their two first round draft picks to try to move up further. Because mm-hmm. now that they got rid of Frank Clark, now they're looking for a defensive lineman. So I wouldn't be surprised if they use one of their two, or if they use two of theirs to move up, and then they try to use one of their second or third to move up. And don't be surprised if the Raiders go, hey, look, we're going to trade up, and we're going to use some of the firepower that we have from the Khalil Mack and the Antonio Brown trade to move up more. So those two teams could easily move up. I don't think that you're going to have an issue with seeing the Rams move back or the Patriots move back, because we all know the Rams don't really need anything in the first round, and the Patriots could
right.
wait until the seventh round and draft all Hall of Famers in the seventh round, unfortunately.
Yeah, you did mention, I do know Rams are, they had another one that ever since the draft order came out, they've been waving their flag just like the Jets' 31 pick. We're just a phone call, text message, Instagram photo away from letting you have it.
Yeah.
But the teams that I think the long shot is my Cowboys moving into the first round. I don't think there's anything in the first round that immediately that's worth moving back into. I definitely like the fact that they're pretty much just going to the scoreboard. The Amari Cooper highlights are playing. That was a well-spent first-round pick. But you mentioned
yeah.
the New Patriots. We all know the Patriots are looking to replace Gronkowski. They're looking to keep that tight end vibe more than likely. There are two exceptional tight ends coming out of the University of Iowa. Probably going to go somewhere in the 15-22 range. That's only about 10 spots for the Patriots. I see them easily go, not that we need that much. We can sign undrafted free agents for the most part. Let's get one tight end.
Yeah, I could see that as well.
It's crazy that nobody's talking about them, and it's usually because it's half the time they get out of their top stat, and they end up drafting a perennial 12-time All-Pro, six bowl winning All-Star in sixth round or something like that. But I feel like this is the time the Patriots are looking around like, yeah, they don't have time to develop people anymore to get starters.
Sorry, you cut out there on me.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can barely hear you. You're cutting in and out on me. But
okay.
I think the Patriots know something with Gronkowski. I think it's one of those things where I think they'd be willing to trade up to get one of the dominant tight ends from Iowa coming out. But I also feel like they know something about Gronkowski that most people don't. And that's, I think Gronkowski retired because he kind of knew it was the end of Tom Brady and the Patriots' reign. And if the Patriots aren't at a winning record around 9-10 games, I think Gronkowski will stay in retirement. If the Patriots are at a winning record, I could easily see Gronkowski come back with the potential of, okay, I'm only going to have to play six games plus another four, and, you know, we go to the playoffs and win another Super Bowl, and then I'll officially be retired, and Tom Brady will retire. So
I could see that. I could never see that. And everybody who can, they think that Gronkowski is going to join his buddy Mojo Rawley on Monday Night Raw. Gronk, if Gronk can't survive the NFL, he's not going to survive the WWE. Just throw that out. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But as we finish up here with Pro Sports Room's Mike Sigma, how's it going, by the way?
It's doing great. We'll be live streaming on the draft tonight a little bit, just talking over some of the draft picks and making sure that everyone who isn't able to watch it can easily stream us at Pro Sports Room on Facebook. We'll just be going over, you know, draft analysis and talking all about the NFL draft tonight. It's a big day in NFL today, so we're really excited to jump back in and talk about all the draft stuff going on.
Yeah, well, I won't bore the rest of my audience by us getting a link to the Polar Bears, but it's been great having you back on. We're definitely going to have you back on in here soon. It's been too long, for one, because a couple weeks ago I went to an AAF game where the good old ball coach Steve Spurrier was 10 feet in front of me. I actually bought tickets to this and I posted getting a pass, but in seeing Spurrier, it reminded of the time we met and all the fun and hygiene and half the dozen different ways almost got us kicked out. But it's always good to talk to you.
It is, and I really appreciate you having me back on the show. And anytime that you're back in the old Central Florida, make sure you give me a call, and we'll meet up for some more shows.
That we will definitely do. Maybe some fun Facebook Live stuff or something.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that. Have a nice night. Enjoy the draft, and I appreciate you letting me come on.
Hey, it's no problem. Enjoy the wings and water there, and I look forward to some more stuff in the sports room.
Yes, sir. Have a nice night.
All right, you as well. Sports room segment. He also writes all kinds of fun stuff, and he really does a great job. Just a super, super smart guy. And I remember seeing the time that Matt Steve Spurrier, he was the cameraman who took that photo. We were at a bowl game Steve Spurrier was at. And, you know what, we were on the field. We probably shouldn't have been using our media passes to the absolute max. Wouldn't know anything else. But in the process, we ended up meeting Steve Spurrier. I got the picture, and Mike's just a super because he did that. He was already cool anyway. But fantastic guy, and glad to have him on. Right now, we are going to go to a break. There it is. We can go to a break, and we come back. We will talk some NHL. We will talk some MLS, and we'll go over a few of the Falcons things right here on Sports Club.
Jeremy, the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business.
There we go. Are we back? We're back. Awesome. Sorry about that. We had to change our connection up on that because, I don't know, we went to commercial and we lost our connection. But we're back. We're doing awesome. You know, just in the first segment, we talked NFL draft with Mike Sigman from Pro Sports Room and a bunch of other amazing things that he does. It's great having Mike on. He's probably going to start being a recurring guest. He's always got super insight, always got great things to talk about. Just, like I said, just all around super guy. And you know, just super guy. Glad to have him on. Switching gears here. Let's talk a little bit of MLS, right? We're going to talk some MLS. We're going to talk some NHL. Probably not the first picks are going on. Don't at me, bro, right? All right. So before we get into Atlanta United stuff, the MLS apparently wants to expand. Okay, we kind of knew that. But David Tepper of the Carolina Panthers, new owner, you know, just going into a second year as the owner. He wants a Charlotte team. Now, this is something he was kind of after before he bought the Carolina Panthers. He's a little bit of a soccer fan, I believe, and would like to get into MLS. And I think Charlotte is a potential landing spot for a team. The crazy thing is you've got four or five professional-level teams. They're not in MLS, but professional-level teams that are all in that general area. So they could either feed that team, and they could already have the academy set up, or they're going to be in direct competition. That could be a little interesting. So we'll see what MLS does there. I don't know what other cities they're looking at besides this. My guess, the one on the east, there probably be one in the west. I have no idea at this point where they'd put another team. Vegas, maybe? I don't know if soccer would play well in Vegas. But David Tepper does want a team. We'll see what happens there. Maybe we'll have one of the soccer down here guys on here soon to ask a little bit about that. Atlanta United, they lose 2-1 to the Dallas FC over the weekend. The goal came from a late Martinez. That would be Joseph Martinez, not Petey. Joseph Martinez, penalty. It happened about three plays after it actually should have. It's fine. He still got it. But in no way, it's 2-1. It makes it seem like it was a close game. It was not. Atlanta, I don't know. They were just – they weren't getting a lot of calls. I was mainly listening to this on the radio. I was listening to the 92.9 gig with Mike Conte and Jason Longshore, which is, hey, if you can't watch live or even if you are watching live, listen to them on the radio. They have the best call. They really do. But Atlanta United was having trouble getting a lot of things established. They're still trying to set up a lot of stuff. These two teams are very similar in that they try to get, you know, hundreds and hundreds of touches per game. Dallas's goal is they want to get like 600 a game. In this one, they only got like 250 because Atlanta was on top of them. But in the process of being on top of them, they weren't dropping back enough in order to not only prevent the two goals, but to they weren't dropping back to prevent Dallas going on a big run. They weren't pressing forward enough to make their own aggressive plays. They're still working out kinks in this, and yeah, I'm going to continue to say that they're still working out the kinks of it until they work out the kinks of it. In no way do I think they're in trouble. They are outside of the playoffs at the moment. I believe six teams get in this year. But I'm not worried yet. And they did just win a championship, all right? Yeah, I want them to win a lot too, and it meant a lot when they won last year. But if they end up having a down year, that's fine. It takes a second to shift focuses the way they have. So, I'm not that worried about them. Like I said, we'll have some people on here in the next couple of weeks to talk some Atlanta United. They have a lot more insight. Yep, I see that on the text line. Maybe Doug from the AJC would be a good one too. But, you know, I'm not that worried about where Atlanta United is or where they're going because I know where they've been. They're not that far off. And you know, for everybody who says, oh, well, we lost this guy and Breck Shea is not – no, Breck Shea is a hell of a player. I would take 100 Breck Shea's all day. What he does and the way he plays, yeah, he's not what the guy before him played over there. Two different style. It's like going from Chipper Jones here in Atlanta to Josh Donaldson. Yes, I know there's people in between there, but Chipper, what Chipper does is not what Josh Donaldson does. They're two highly clouded players, fantastic talents, two different kind of players. So what Atlanta United is doing, they're doing the right things. Things are starting to fall into place. Starting this year was like getting a brand new puzzle, brand new 1,000-piece puzzle. Cutting open the box and dumping them out on the floor. You're starting to put pieces into place. Some of them are working. Some of them you realize, hey, that one doesn't go there. Let's try this. And don't discount transfer windows and don't discount late-minute trades to move in certain things here and there. I have all the faith in the world for them to make these kinds of plays. They've done well up to this point. I mean, you got to think, this team's not but a handful of years old. They already have a championship and they're doing fantastic things. So, yeah, they're like, I don't know, they only have like 2 wins on the year, like 2-6-2 or something like that. It's fine. Still go, still get into the culture. Maybe tickets will be a little cheaper. They're not that expensive, really, for the entertainment. But, you know, it's just one of those things where just be patient. And I know it's hard to be patient when you remember last year we were probably undefeated at this point, and this year we're not. It's fine. It's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. Just sit back, relax, or you give yourself a heart attack. Just come on. We ain't having none of that. Now, Falcons-related stuff. Let's get into some Falcon stuff, and then I will talk about the NHL, which has been unbelievable. It's actually playing right now. Lincoln Kelly trying to be cute as I'm watching the NFL Network version. I don't know about the ESPN version or the ABC or any of that. I particularly like Rich Eisen and Kurt Warner. So that's the channel I'm picking for tonight. I may flip back and forth, just see what some of them are saying. Look, let me just get this out here. While we're pulling up, before we get into Falcon stuff, I will tell you right now. If I had the top pick, I don't care what team I have, any of the 32, pick your favorite team. I don't care if I'm the Patriots. I don't care if I'm Cardinals, if I'm anywhere in between. I'm taking Nick Bosa. If I have the number 2 pick, I'm taking Quinnen Williams. If I have the 3, 4, 5 pick, okay, now let's start talking about the Haskins, the Murrays, those guys. But no, to me, you either grab Nick Bosa or you grab Quinnen Williams in the top 2. And case closed. Don't want to hear anything else. The Falcons signed J.J. Wilcox. He is a solid defensive back. He will add a lot of depth, adds a lot of experience and leadership. I think that is definitely going to be a big time pickup, and he'll be able to mentor his eventual replacement, because I believe they got a couple guys on the roster that could eventually take that spot, and they also have some people that they're going to probably draft to they need defensive backs, because this is Dan Quinn's scheme, all right? It's not hard. Old Seattle stuff, right? Here's what he likes to do. It's very linebacker heavy and linebacker important. But the linebackers don't just rush and don't just spy and cover. They drop and they rush. They go up. They play. It's like having center fielders, but you're having multiple ones on the field. He likes his defensive backs to be able to come back and hit and play like linebackers. He likes his defensive tackles and his defensive ends to be able to drop in coverage and be a linebacker or to rush forward. He likes everybody to kind of be interchangeable. You'd be able to do, you know, if you're on the front line, then you can do the job of the front line in the middle line. If you're in the middle line, then you can do 1, 2, and 3. If you're in the third line, you can do the second and the third. He is very much a moving parts, speed, hit and tackle solidly type guy. He's not about the big hit. He's about the rugby-style tackle. But that's what his scheme is. And it's not, oh, well, now everybody's going to figure it out. No, for one, people know what his scheme is. But it's about the players he puts in it. You're going to see him make sure he has the linebackers he needs. He's got Grady Jarrett up front. I could see them going after a pass rusher. They keep saying they're going to move into the tight end. If they do, I do believe they're going to come after one of them. You never know. But as far as they're concerned, that's what I absolutely think is going to happen. The other thing of note, decided to pick up the fifth-year option of Pro Bowl safety Keanu Neal in what might be the easiest decision they will have this offseason. There was a report saying Thomas Dimitrov is ranked among the NFL's top GMs. I would put him probably top 5, maybe higher than that, because – you got to look. There's a reason why he's been through a handful of coaches. There's a reason why his job never seems to be in jeopardy, because he knows what he's doing. He's very, very good at shopping for the groceries. And I'm not saying that it all falls on these coaches now that just can't make a delicious meal out of the groceries he's buying, so to say. It's just saying he is really, really good at what he does. I think if Belichick still had Thomas Dimitrov in the building, yes, he comes from New England, among other places. He knows Bill really well. I think if Bill still had him, Bill wouldn't be the GM. I think he'd just let Thomas pick all the players, and Bill would just give him an idea of what he was looking for. I honestly think that's the way it would be. But Dimitrov, super, super awesome guy, super big guy, and I'm glad he is part of Michigan. But we will see what the Falcons do here in a handful of short minutes. But as we get into some NHL talk, before we get out of here on Sports Club Board Check, today it's called Draft Day. In the first segment, we were joined by Mike Sigmund from Pro Sports Room. He is just fantastic. There is so much more we could have got into. We really just want to hit the draft today for you guys. But let's get into some NHL real quick. Every series is over. In fact, the new series just started tonight as let's see. Here we go. Boston and the Columbus Blue Jackets are playing right now, and at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, St. Louis and Dallas will kick off. Big time in Dallas right now. Shout out to all the media people that we know there. Let's talk about these series real quick. You had Winnipeg and St. Louis. St. Louis ends this in 6-2. In game six, it was the Jaden Schwartz show. Not only because he had 3 goals, he was just leading the charge. He was by far Mel Gibson and Braveheart. He was taking everybody's freedom and dignity. And the St. Louis comeback just came up a little short. They lost that game 3-2. It means they lost the series. The Blues move on. They face Dallas, as we say, because Dallas beat Nashville in 6 games. Game 5, Nashville just had a bunch of bad giveaways that led to Dallas goals. They lost that one 5-3. Dallas won 5-3. And then in Game 6, which was Monday night, Klingberg, Rister just sealed the Preds' fate in a late overtime thriller, 2-1 there, at 4-2 on the series. Like I said, Dallas and St. Louis are now playing each other. Colorado just extinguished the Flames. It wasn't even close. So many top seeds just bit it, and Calgary bit it big. They a lot of head scratchers. But the Avalanche definitely they just leave no doubt. They won 5-1 in the deciding 5th game, and they will get the San Jose Sharks, who might be my new. They're not dark horse anymore. My new favorite to win the whole thing. I filled out a second chance bracket. I've actually got the Islanders and the Sharks playing in the Stanley Cup, and I think I said the Islanders in 6 or 7, if I remember correctly. But it doesn't matter. In the first round of the playoffs, every one of these games in every matchup were absolutely fantastic, just phenomenal, just ridiculously good. How great this is, and it just goes to show this is why hockey is king. That's why I believe that. If you don't, that's fine. I get it. Whatever your favorite sport is, that's what makes sports great, is that we can have these discussions like this. But hockey will always be king to me, because each and every one of these playoff games have been just, you can't. The only reason you flip channels is because you're trying to watch multiple games at once if you don't have the screens. Where else is that? San Jose, as I said, they go all the way to Game 7 against the Vegas Golden Knights, but just the Golden Knights, they looked tired. They looked just flat on their feet. They just looked flat in general. And San Jose, I think you can give Evander Kane a lot of credit, and a lot of people say, no, he played like crap. No, Evander Kane is known for being a pure scorer. Not a super physical guy, but he became a physical pest to the Golden Knights, which was a different part of his game, a very underrated part that he did underutilized. So he did some fantastic things. You got to say Martin Jones. You got to say Hurdle. Me and Cody were having a discussion earlier today. I think Bernsey has got to be up there as well, because him and Evander Kane were the two biggest pests to the Vegas Golden Knights. And ultimately that was the undoing. So congratulations to San Jose on not only advancing, but also being a perennial favorite now to win the thing. But San Jose will face Colorado, as I said. They will play tomorrow, and so will the Washington Capitals, who take care of the Carolina Hurricanes. No. I had that backwards. Sorry, Canes fans. The Islanders will be against the Carolina Hurricanes, who had a Game 7 thriller just last night, kept us all up late. Just to see this team knock off a team like Washington and do it the way they did, just fantastic. It goes all the way to two overtimes before the 4-3 score at the end there, the winner. Just so proud of this Canes team and what they've done. It just shows the future is very bright for Carolina. It will be interesting. I don't want to get this far down the road, but it'll be interesting, the Justin Williams and the others, to see how many more seasons they play and what they do about trying to find other people that do the things that he does to make it up for. I won't say everybody's camping really them on. As I said, Boston and let's see, don't we? Boston and is hosting Columbus right now. Waiting to see a score. Looks like Boston just scored. It is 1-0, about a minute into the second. And we are about an hour and a half away from the puck drop in Dallas, as the Blues will be down there for that. Like I said, Carolina and the Islanders will play tomorrow, and Colorado, San Jose will do Friday. And I will do my dangest to split the shows back up next week so that we can talk a lot more hockey and really get into some other stuff. There are some other news and notes from the NHL. Steve Yzerman has been named Red Wings General Manager, Executive Vice President. That only took 10 years. He did a fantastic job down in – Stevie Y did a fantastic job down with the Lightning years ago, and it's about time the Red Wings brought him home. He was always one of my favorite. Him and Sergei Fedorov were two of my favorites growing up as a kid, and made me like the Red Wings for a while. So it's good to see that, and I see nothing but good things up there. It's the Red Wings needed a change and needed to redo some things and start some things over. I think Stevie Y is the guy to do. The Blue Jackets, since they swept their series and they were waiting on the second round to start, did some simulated games during the break to stay in the rhythm of having games at certain times. One particular one they did, they had over 5,000 fans show up to watch it. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Columbus is really doing some nice things there, building a good program. That was fantastic. The full get on Oshie. I'm a big Oshie fan. But freak accident the way that happened. He ended up injuring his arm as he hit the boards. Fogle did a good shot on him. It was a clean hit. And then Oshie kind of seems like he loses his balance and kind of careens into the boards. It doesn't look like he was shoved that way. It just looks like he kind of stumbled that way. And it's unfortunate because TJ Oshie is fantastic. But, I mean, Washington's out, so hopefully he can heal up, be good to go for next season. But I didn't see anything wrong with that hit. Honestly, didn't. The arena in Seattle, the opening of it is being pushed to late spring, summer of 2021. They were hoping to host the 2021 draft. Well, that's not going to happen now. They just had some things come up, not big issues or anything like that. But when you're building a building like that, and when you're updating things and fixing things the way you like, sometimes you hit snags. Like, maybe the electricians you're trying to use were busy. Couldn't get to it, or decided they had to run more wire or something. There's all kinds of things. But it's going to be late spring to early summer of 2021. Should be fine. Friday, June 21st, and Saturday, the 22nd, will be the NHL. Can't remember where they said it was going to be. But I'm just going to go over the top 15 draft order so far. I absolutely agree that the top three are the ones who need these picks the most. Let's go 15. 14 is Arizona. 13 is Florida. Minnesota at 12. 11 is Philly. 10 is Vancouver. Anaheim at 9. Edmonton at 8. Buffalo at 7. 6 is Detroit. Stevie Wild get his first pick at 6. LA at 5. Colorado through Ottawa at 4. So Colorado is going to be even better next year. Top three picks. the teams that I think needed the most help in redoing some things and rebuilding the way they need to. Number three, Chicago. Oh, God, yes. You guys need it. Having the third pick, I think, is you're going to find that instant starter. I think it's going to be great. Number two, the New York Rangers. They've been trying to rebuild for years, and it's going okay. But, man, they need some fresh blood, and I think they're definitely going to find it here. And then the New Jersey Devils. They absolutely need that top pick. I think this is going to be great to have Jersey, the Rangers, and Chicago with a bunch with some those real top talents coming straight in, because usually the top 10 or so, top 15 maybe, are instant starters. Usually they're the Connor McDavids and the Sid Crosbys and such like that, and the Svechnikovs. So that's going to be fantastic. But I do believe that is going to do it for us, as they are okay. They're just giving out season tickets for the Super Bowl season tickets for the next 100 years. Depending on what team, I don't know if that's a prize or not. But now let's end it on that note. And I want to give a shout out to Pro Sports Room's Mike Sigmund. Not only is he a friend of the show, but he's a good friend of mine. He is fantastic. And yes, I absolutely. Not only will he, you guys have spoken to me that he'll be back on very soon to talk all kinds of things. But absolutely, Mike, next time I am in the general Central Florida area, I'm heading your way, because it's been a while, man. And, you know, like I said, shout out to him. Good luck to him with all the stuff there. Like, so we're going to have him back on. And, yeah, that's pretty much going to do it for us this week here on Sports Club Board Check, our episode called Draft Day. I am Jeremy the Impact York. Enjoy the NFL draft, or if you're watching hockey, enjoy that too. We will be watching all and everything involved in that here at the studio. For John, for Joseph, for Reggie, for the coach, for Cody, I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We'll see you guys next week. How about them Cowboys?
I'm making the cake, so let's make. I'm taking the game, the game's mine. Y'all witness the change, it's my time. Yeah, I'm new to the game, but y'all might wanna say you whack rap, stay light, save the time. I can dance, homie, I don't too fair. Y'all looking at something like a true player. A girl told me that a man that can dance might can possibly get down with the tool in his pants. Now I'm a lady, let me see it vibrate. And when it's over, you ain't gonna need your bird. Now I'm a pro, make you bend your back low, then the pound it real fast, just like the percolator.
Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah.
These guys are warriors.
Was that not clear without the bam? Yeah, okay. Bam! What?